Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Well, that was an unexpected live. I guess we are live right now. Sorry about that, guys. Anyways, welcome to the Degen Dads podcast. Sorry about the slight visual quality today. As always, I am joined by the best co-host ever, also Degen Dad, Kyle Wilson. What is up today, Kyle? How's it going, man?
Yo, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm well. I guess I could probably turn the music off instead of trying to talk over it. Yeah, so today we are doing a dual broadcast. That's why there might be some different we weren't fully expecting it to go live yet, but we're also live on Twitter Spaces. So I'm still waiting for Kyle to join that. For those that are on Twitter, they're actually able to listen and tune in. But anyways, with all that being said, Kyle, something big happened yesterday. There's actually been a lot of things going on this week, but I'll actually get to the title in a minute. Just an icebreaker question. How's overall this week been for you, man, in the crypto and NFT space?
It's an interesting one. You know, meme coins kind of been dumping. Elon tweeted about Miladies. Just an interesting dynamic this week. Something you typically don't see all the time. So, but at the same time, I've been through this stuff before with Doge and some other meme coins. So not too surprising.
Not too surprising. Yo, we got a lot of GMs on in the comments. Also, your mic is muted on Twitter if you want to unmute that. So we got Duncan that came in before we even started. This should be good. We got SoCal a second and a GM. Ace Rig move. Hi, Chris and Kyle. Big money. Good morning, fellas. Big money, Fuentes. And Duncan said good afternoon. So yeah, I am kind of blurry right now. I'm going to work on fixing that. I'm really not sure the issue. I apologize about that. I hope that the audio is still going through well on the Twitter space side and on the YouTube side, so at least you can listen to this. And as of 2 weeks ago, we can actually these will actually be podcasts on Degen Dad's podcast that you can listen to through YouTube Music. So if the audio quality is not there, or if you're on the go, you can actually just listen to it through that. We also have Iron Man LG and Alex M. Are we seeing a turnaround in the market soon? We're going to get into that in a little bit. I kind of want to get straight to the title of this show, Elon pumping NFTs. So Kyle kind of gave a little spoiler alert in there during how his week has been. But Elon actually tweeted about an NFT project yesterday. Now, did he say the word NFT? No. Did he know what he was talking about? Did he know that there's an NFT project behind it? I'm going to go with probably, and I have some evidence to support that I'm going to show on live stream. And Kyle, have you been following this whole Elon tweets about Miladies?
Yeah, man.
Hang on just a sec.
I'm getting a little feedback. Let me see if I can turn that off.
You're good, man. I'll actually pull it up in the background so we can have a visual for it as well.
Check. Yo, feedback. Yeah, I'm getting a little feedback
anyway. Oh no, where's it coming from?
I don't know.
Maybe just mute the Twitter space right now. I hear it now too. All right, I'm gonna pull that down just for a second until Kyle gets that gets that figured out. And I'm going to go ahead and pull up the Elon thing. I'm sorry, guys, who are watching.
Yeah, I think you have the Twitter space pulled up on your Rodecaster. But anyways, I saw him tweet like literally the minute or the second he tweeted. And I was like, oh, like this is going to full send Miladies to the moon. And of course, people were like buying them up. I was watching the activity on OpenSea. And then I was watching the activity on DexTools because I knew those were going to pump too. And like one of them went from like $7,000 to like $9,000 per token in like less than 5 minutes. It was actually pretty insane.
I found out that I accidentally opened our podcast through one of the other tabs, and that's why we were getting the feedback. Sorry about that, guys. That was super, super annoying. Thank you for bearing with me on that. So yeah, I was going to pull up Elon's tweet about it. Essentially, he tweeted out this Milady meme. Dude, it pumped, and we're going to look at this in a second, from like 3.5 Ethereum all the way up to 8 Ethereum. It literally 2x, but not just like from $10 to $20. We're talking from like less than 4 Ethereum to 8 Ethereum. Like, that's nuts. All from a tweet, man.
Yeah, you're muted on Twitter.
Sorry, Twitter. We're back, baby. I thought Twitter might have been the issue, so I muted it. But we were just talking about Elon tweeting the Milady meme that I will pull up right now on YouTube, and completely sending it from 3.5 ETH to over 8 Ethereum, which is pretty nuts. So this is literally all he did, Kyle, was he put out this meme right here and fully sent it. What's your thoughts on that? What's that?
I'm still getting a little feedback.
I'm not sure why, man. I'm not anymore. I fixed it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Blockchain Comic says mute, so I'm not sure. Here, let me mute my Twitter.
Yeah, that probably maybe you're getting fed through my mic on that as well.
Yeah, maybe. Can you mute? Is there some way you can just mute that?
Mute the Twitter?
Well, like, I already have it unmuted.
I'm not sure, man. I don't know what the feedback would be coming from.
I'm not sure either. Yeah, I keep getting a feedback loop. Anyways.
Blockchain said it was good on his end.
Yeah, because you're feeding my audio through StreamYard to Twitter, even though I'm like,
got you. That's what's happening. Then just leave yours mute. They'll know when you're talking.
Wait, what?
Just leave yours muted then, and they'll know when you're talking. If your audio is already going through mine anyways.
Well, then it looks, I don't know. It just confuses. I don't know. It's confusing.
we'll let it rip this time.
All right, we'll let it rip, but... yeah, I don't know if they'll be able to figure out who's talking on Twitter. Exactly. I would wait a weekend short these NFTs, says Iron Man LG. Yeah, I think they already dumped. Like, I think like some guy, well, at least I saw a tweet. I haven't checked the price action today. Chris, you might have checked it today, but I saw somebody bought one for like seven ETH, and then they dumped it for like 5 ETH. So it was like a 2 ETH loss on the ladies.
Yeah, I saw that. That was like during like the big hype of it. So these are actually already back down to 4.7. Yeah, which they were at like, which that's still up 1 ETH since before Elon's tweet, which is pretty crazy. That's on OpenSea anyways. I was seeing on Ninja Alerts, that is the blockchain company the Web3 company that I work for. People are still buying some like bigger wallets. So if you're looking on the screen right now, we have ABCXYZ, which is considered a whale, bought a couple. We have the number 475 trader by realized profits, bought one. And then we had number 188 profit, number ranked 188 by another one. So like people are still buying this. I'm not really sure why. I will say, I don't know if you said it earlier, but as far as Miladies are concerned, they've really had the edge on a lot of these meme coins. So like we're obviously in meme coin season, and they're basically calling these like.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Insane calls like in the Discord, which is probably because there's some devs involved and they're probably getting some type of, I don't want to say insider knowledge, but some type of edge on the meme coins.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what I've been kind of saying. And, you know, nobody wants to listen because they're trying to protect their bags. But it is what it is. You know, people know that there's a risk out there. It's just meme coins. So, yeah, it is what it is, man. Be careful out there, fam.
Yeah, for sure, man. We have a lot of other topics to talk about. The Elon one was big. And I guess one more thing I want to say before concluding it is it's kind of crazy to me that any given day, like a major celebrity could tweet about something you're holding and change your life, essentially. Now, like, I mean, granted, what, 4 ETH to 8 ETH is like, I don't know what ETH's at right now. Let's round up to 2,000. I think it dropped down today. But like, it's not like life-changing for everybody, but I mean, it's still, I mean, you never know, especially if you have like a lot of said item that the celebrity tweets about. Like, it's just crazy how much power is in their hands, and like also the opportunity of like if these bigger names ever talk about stuff.
Yeah, totally. It's like, it's the creator economy, right? Obviously, like Elon has a massive following, so it just kind of makes sense. I mean, he's always alluding to like crypto stuff, like, you know, changing the app to Doge. So for Elon, it's not too surprising because obviously Elon and his history, but, you know, other influencers in the crypto space that are literally just pumping like these, you know, tokens, these meme tokens that they know are going to go to zero, but they just keep tweeting about them. But people are eating it up, you know, so that's kind of a scary thing is like people are just eating that stuff up. They realize like obviously it's a degen play, but at the same time, it's like you're also then people get dragged into like promoting it themselves. Like Zach XBT was like tweeting about like people getting paid in tokens and then dumping on their followers, like while actually like telling them that the token was fine. Like, I don't know. There's just a lot of nonsense and craziness that people just don't understand. And some of these people just never get caught. Like that's the kind of the situation in crypto is like some of these people that are like really intelligent, they'll just never get caught. So I don't know. It's just like one of those things. It's like you have to do your own due diligence and figure it out for yourself, I guess.
Well, that influencer specifically was like pretty doxxed, wasn't he? I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't read that far into it.
He had over 100,000 followers at him. And then like, well, he specifically got like 2% of the allocation and didn't disclose it like during his like shill tweets or whatever. So like, that's pretty insane.
Yeah. You can't do that. You can't shill stuff. Like literally that is like definition of like, you know, against, I don't know where he's from, but like there's laws in the United States against like stuff like that. You have to disclose if you're a team member or you got paid in tokens, like to promote them. So, and that's exactly what he did. And you can't do that in the United States. You'll get definitely sued. Kim Kardashian was an example. So there's a lot of that like shady stuff going on behind the scenes, and it, you know, there's an inner circle for sure. Even if you look at the Pepe coin, like that's not even the OG Pepe coin from 2016. That's just a knockoff. It's a ripoff of the OG Pepe from 2016. And the OG team, they said like several months ago that they're going to like resurrect the project. And then apparently like the new Pepe coin, like tried to front ran the whole hype situation. So I don't know. It's like one of those things where people don't really care unless you learn about the history, but like, I don't know. It's not a good look for the crypto industry. In my opinion, I mean the meme culture, that's always going to be there. That's always good because it's fun. It's healthy in some ways, but at the same time, there's like pros and cons to it all. Right. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And a lot of it's just based around hype, man. I mean, like, you look at Twitter and like everyone's talking about Pepe. So like that's where this Pepe specifically on ETH. So that's where the attention is at. Did you see the whole controversy between Pepe and Coinbase? I don't know if you saw last night. It was around the time that we had our like casual space, but there was trending cancel Coinbase. Did you see all that?
Yeah, I saw it too. And, you know, this isn't too surprising. This is, you know, Bittrex back in the day for the OG Pepe coin. They actually were the first ones to tell them to change their ticker as well. Or to change, like, they wouldn't like list unless like the OG token like made changes. So to see Coinbase do this is like not too surprising. This isn't the first time this has happened to like a Pepe based token. So in Coinbase, like, again, I don't know, they're suing the SEC essentially. So I don't think they're going to get in bed with, you know, any, you know, controversial type of tokens right at this moment. Now, I do think they shouldn't have. You know, I think that email was obviously, like, if you look at the history of the Pepe, it's created by Matt Fury, an artist.
Hey, real,
from
real
like
quick, Kyle, real quick. I'm going to interrupt you.
2013.
Can you go ahead and unmute your mic? And I'm going to mute mine while you speak. That way Twitter can hear you, because Twitter can't hear you through my mic.
All right. So all right. I'm getting a feedback loop again.
Dang, it has to be through the streaming thing then.
Yeah.
I even muted the Twitter and I wasn't getting it. Sorry about that, Twitter Spaces. I guess you're just not going to hear Kyle. I wouldn't know how to fix that, at least while we're on, while we're live.
Here, maybe here, mute, because you're not muted on Twitter.
Well, yeah, I muted it, but here, I'm muted now.
All right, check. Oh yeah, here, my audio is still somehow like streaming through StreamYard or something.
Dang, can you fight through it? Because. Hear it.
I'll try it. Let me take my headphone out. I mean, they'll hear a feedback loop in general on the stream, but what were you talking about? What was the question? The Elon or the Coinbase deal?
Yeah, Coinbase and Pepe. Just the controversy between the two and why like Coinbase wouldn't dabble in Pepe.
Oh yeah, yeah. So to recap that is like not too surprising. Coinbase, I don't think they needed to send out an email, but they're also, I feel like they're covering their bases because they're going at war with the SEC and they don't want the SEC to be like, oh, I told you so, promoting a scam. Like, look at you guys. So I think there's like behind the scenes stuff going on. But again, like I was saying, this wouldn't be the first time an OG, like the OG Pepe coin had to deal with Bittrex, like way back in 2016, around the same, this actual issue of like being deemed like a political token when it wasn't, because obviously, like if you watch the documentary, Matt Fury created the Pepe and then the OG team listed under a different ticker symbol because Bittrex wouldn't list them. So again, this wouldn't be the first time an exchange tried to like do something like that to a Pepe based, you know, ticker symbol. So not too surprising.
Yeah. My problem with it was they kind of like took it a step further and sent out an email talking about how like Pepe had links to like alt-right. And it's like, we talked about this a little last night, but like Matt Fury, that's not why he, like Pepe was just art. And then people took the art and did many different things with it. That being one of them, like, I think it was specifically like on 4chan and specifically with like certain circles. But there's other places in the world who did other things with it because that's what people do with things.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
They take them and they make them either good or bad. So for them just to take that like one use of Pepe that wasn't even why it was intended for that and kind of use that in an email, like, I mean, I guess that just struck a nerve with a lot of people, and I don't really blame them because you're kind of just telling one side of the story and trying to trigger emotions when saying that. They should have just said something along the lines that you said is, look, you know, we're for regulatory issues, we are not going to list some Pepe on like a tier one exchange because of X, Y, and Z. They shouldn't have said like, oh, we're not going to list Pepe because it represents alt-right.
Right. Well, I think Coinbase shouldn't have just sent an email anyways. Like, they don't do this for like 90% of their tokens. They're not like, oh, we're going to list or not list. Like, I just don't understand why in this certain case they needed to come out and like do an email. So maybe there's some like internal employee pressure to like do that as well, because that can be a thing as well. Like, if you look at some of the tech companies, there's always like these internal pressures. Google was one of those examples with their contract with the US government. Like, and they, like, the employees at Google were upset because it was kind of like helping the military. And, you know, people were like, oh, I'm anti-war. But at the same time, like, that's preventative, like, type of, in my opinion, like, it's preventing war by helping the US military, you know, do what they need to do. But the, you know, Google employees didn't like that. So they, like, you know, went on almost like a strike. So like, you see this at sometimes at tech companies internally. So there could have been that there too, but there's like, nobody can tell for sure.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. While we're on just like that type of like broad, like US level or how people interpret stuff, I do want to pull up real quick. Dang, I am so blurry. I apologize, people. We are going through a few bumps today trying to dual broadcast this on YouTube and Twitter Spaces. We will get it fixed by next week. So thank you for bearing with me on it. Did you see that a US congressman yesterday, he was responding to crypto people making money, but the way he's, I'm actually just going to play it. Twitter Spaces, you should be able to hear this too. This is hilarious, man. Like, I got to just play this in case you guys haven't seen this, because this is, the fact that he just said it like this is just nuts. All right, let me know if you can hear this, Kyle. Can you hear that? You cannot. Okay, let me.
I can just hear myself.
All right, I'll pull it up through where you can hear it. So essentially, he's saying that crypto bros, he literally said it like that, make money out of thin air, which is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But here, you should be able to hear it now.
Crypto bros make money literally by making money, and they've made over $1 trillion out of thin air. They'll accuse the U.S. government of making money out of thin air. Maybe we do, but we're the U.S. government.
So... if Twitter Spaces, if you weren't able to hear that, the Congressman Sherman said that crypto bros print money out of thin air. And in response to the U.S. government does it, he says, maybe we do, but we're the U.S. government. How do you feel about that, Kyle?
Yeah, this is just one of those examples of people that are like, you know, really out of touch with technology and how it works. You know, if he's that fearful of like crypto bros, like literally, if you look at the space, a lot of it's innovation. Obviously, like the SEC hasn't done their job, like the regulators haven't done their actual jobs in terms of regulating this space. So of course, like there's going to be people that are like fly by night. And that's on them. Like that's on them, because they haven't done literally anything except for committees, hearings, and finally they're starting to get somewhere with that. But you know, we wouldn't see a lot of the grifters if they have just regulated the space. And so like his argument is just null right there. But like the fact that he thinks people are just printing money, like sure. If you're that worried about like crypto, like just print more money, I guess. Like if you're worried about like all this dollars going into crypto, why don't you just print more? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. The argument is just so silly. And you know, obviously the United States, like obviously is the world reserve currency. So yeah, they can do whatever they want. So I mean, that's another thing too. So it's a whole different discussion.
They can do whatever they want. Just the fact that it's like, yeah, but that in particularly affects everybody. Like, yeah, we can print money, but you know, nobody else can, and everybody else is going to have to pay a consequence for this. I don't know. That little clip personally didn't resonate well with me, and it seemed very out of touch. And even just saying like crypto can print money is just, there's a buyer and seller that we're not making money out of thin air. We are either losing money due to somebody being a better trader or whatever, or being a better trade-off, or we are making money. Like, I don't know. It's an exchange. It's not a printing. So I thought that was kind of crazy. I saw you made a video. I do want to talk about that. I don't really know a lot about this other than your post and your video. Amazon came out with Amazon Anywhere recently. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So Amazon Anywhere is just, it's going to be a service that's going to provide, like, obviously they just partnered up with Niantic, which is like, they just dropped their What's the game called? Like Pigimon or Pigmon? Pigmon? I don't know. Or what? Here, I downloaded it on my phone. Peridot. They just Niantic launched a augmented reality game. And they partnered up with Amazon to drop like merch. So like with the Amazon Anywhere, you'll be able to like buy merch inside the experience, inside the augmented reality. And this is just like a starter where things are going. Cause like in the future, like all these apps that build like either AR or maybe in the distant future VR. And obviously we'll probably see that too, is like, you'll just be able to connect your Amazon account and buy things like right within the experience, making it more immersive and feel more like real life.
That's really cool. I'm really excited to see like all of Amazon's steps in this space, not just with that, but we've talked about like the fidgetals, which I used to not like that word, but there's not a better word for it. Something that you can get like a digital of and then get a physical ship to you to kind of see like what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that just hasn't been improved since it came out, fidgetal, because like fidgetal in the like they've, that was already a thing before NFTs. It just didn't have an NFT associated with it. I do like fidgetals because in the future, like for example, a fashion item, somebody could buy it on Amazon. It's getting louder.
Yeah.
You just turned it down. It like I you fixed it and then it like turned back up, but I think we're good now. Yeah, it's better now. A little bit. What was I saying? Oh yeah, because yeah, if you're gonna buy like a piece of clothing and you just so happen to get the digital for free, I think that's a good move because your avatar, like if you use a Ready Player Me type platform where it allows the digital NFT and you can, you know, customize your own avatar. So not only your digital self will have the jacket, but you will have the IRL jacket. So I think like when you think of it like that, and you're talking about full immersion in the metaverse, in the future, obviously we're a long ways out from that. But like, I think that's a good move. Like it's a precursor to actual, you know, immersiveness and digital experiences. So in that sense, I do like it.
Did I fix it?
Can you check. I can still hear myself. Do you have Twitter turned on? Like, can you turn the volume down on your phone? I think that it's feeding the audio through your Rodecaster to.
Yeah, I mean, I could turn it down. Is that better? I just turned it down. I turned it down like halfway.
A little
down.
Bit better.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit better for sure.
Oh, actually, I can hear. What about that?
Woo! Yeah, I can't hear anymore. Yeah, I can't hear.
Oh, for real? Is that easy? Well, there you go.
That easy.
Yeah, guys, this is our first time dual broadcasting this from YouTube to Twitter Spaces. So there's going to be some kinks in this, but we appreciate, like, obviously your patience. Oh, it's been crazy. So last week on your channel and on our podcast, we talked about Cryptoys. They had the announcement of Star Wars, Darth Vader coming, and a lot of others, even some first appearances. It was recently I saw on Twitter, which this is something we already knew because we talked about it, but it's still really cool. Just kind of like the gamification aspect, how these are actually made for gamification. There was a live stream with Comics and Crypto and I guess some of the founders just kind of like moving around the area, like with one of the Cryptoys. I imagine that you'll be able to do this for the Star Wars collectibles as well. Have you seen that? Yeah, I'll go ahead and pull it up for stream to see, but what do you think about that?
About Cryptoys?
About specifically the gamification aspect, like the fact that it's ready is funny. I feel like this is like a reaction to a reaction video. But I'll go ahead and pull it up for people to see.
Now we can do 360. We can be
just the fact that these are like already like metaverse ready.
Yeah, so I covered this project like a long time ago. So I think it's really cool. You know, it comes in like a toy package and you can rip the package open and you can play with your NFT. So this is like just showcasing what's possible. Now, this is really all you can do. Like that's kind of the limit. That's like, this is literally all you can, like you can just put it in that little demo type of atmosphere. But like in the future, they're talking about like you can basically have these play sets that you can put your collectible in, play with it, like go in and out of the play set. So they're like super toyetic. Like it's like actual, it feels like you're capturing that like kid aspect of collecting in terms of toys. And it just feels more like a toy experience, which is kind of cool. Cause like I could see this being more mainstream friendly than other platforms out there. So to me, like, I could see my daughter really getting excited about this type of stuff versus like other platforms where it doesn't really feel like a toy. It's more just like, you know, a PFP or a static.
Yeah, man, for sure. I used to collect Hot Wheels, and I would keep some of them in the plastic, like this, like we see on screen right now, and then some of them I'd take out. So to me, this adds to like a real collector's experience, because like, do I want to keep it sealed and maybe like have that pristine a condition and value, or do I want to take it out and play with it? I think that's such a cool thing to do in the digital space as well. Also, huge shout out to All Chat Gaming for the super chat. Said the boys with a fire emoji and my favorite emoji of them all, a coffee emoji. Appreciate you, man. All Chat Gaming, super active in the community, super active on Twitter and on YouTube. So thank you so much for donating to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And welcome everybody on Twitter. We're actually streaming, dual streaming. We're on YouTube and streaming to Twitter. So I saw Trevor in the audience on Twitter. Shout out to Trevor. And yeah.
Trevor, man. Reset the room. Yeah, definitely resetting the room. How you, Kyle, have you been keeping up with any of McFarlane Digital's, man? Do you have any alpha on that?
Trevor just left.
Dang, he's like, oh, he said too much.
Yeah, they noticed me. Yeah, I mean, I've been keeping up with them. Like, I tweeted, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that they're launching a contest for collectors. So if you collect physical or even the digital, you can basically showcase your collection and send it into their Discord, and you have a chance to win a signed autographed physical collectible from Todd McFarlane himself. So it's kind of cool stuff. And maybe they'll be, you know, since they're hyping this stuff up, maybe we'll see something launching soon. So I don't know on that end, but I don't know. Cool to see something, especially from Todd McFarlane himself. Kind of exciting.
Heck yeah, man. Looking forward to that. I haven't really kept up lately, but I still have like Spawn that I bought from the original, one of the original drops. I need to check back in on it though.
Life. Yo, what's up, All Chat? I just saw that.
Heyo. So yeah, man. Where's the? I lost the little document. It's been freaking crazy today with all the tech issues, but we're still trucking through, man. I did have on here. Oh, this is just like a side note. Pudgy Penguins raised $9 million in funding, man, which is pretty crazy for a bear market and NFT project. If you're not familiar with Pudgy Penguins, I do not own one. I wish I did. That's one of the few NFT projects that I'm priced out. I might get a little pudgy one day, but I don't want to spend like 5 ETH on a Pudgy Penguin. But Pudgy Penguins, they like borderline rugged like a year ago, and then they got a new founder that like saved the project. I think it's Cole. I want to say his name. Luca. I think Cole might've been the one that rugged or like part of it. And since then, Luca's like really done a good job at like reviving the project. And yeah, so they raised $9 million and that got covered by a lot of outlets, including, which one is this? I don't know if it made it to Yahoo, but I mean, that's pretty substantial, man. Like $9 million in this type of market for an NFT project. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah. And we're still seeing money being raised across the table. Like the VCs themselves haven't slowed down. And you kind of see that with like other projects out there that are raising like big amounts of money and still doing like seed rounds and all that stuff and rounds of funding. So this isn't too surprising. And Pudgy Penguins, they've been around for a while now. So it's become like a... one of the more like blue chip type projects out there.
So when I'm looking at this, each of these Pudgies has like a name of a company. Like this one says KuCoin, and then this one says CoinGecko. Do you think they like during the seed round, like they actually like gave each of these like investors like a specific penguin? Is that how you think it works?
They could have. I mean, yeah, I don't really know the history of it, but it just seems that there's development teams in you know, Pudgy themselves. Like I saw like they created that bridge where you can bridge your NFTs to other blockchains. So in terms of like the project itself, that seems like they're pretty savvy on the dev side.
Yeah, I know they were doing cross chain as well, specifically Little Pudgies. I got to get me a Little Pudgy one day, but I don't want to buy like around the hype like right now, because you know, 9 million, that's kind of being talked about right now. But Overall, seems like a really cool project. Good PFPs, but I don't know. I have a friend who did really good during the meme coin last few weeks, and he decided to put profits into a Pudgy Penguin.
Nice. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that's like down in the market. If you look closely, like there's still a lot of like plays if you have liquidity still. Sure. You know, there's a lot of projects that are down. Even like I think Basie's kind of been down a little bit lately too.
Yeah, it's like 40 ETH right now, which is very low. But I mean, gas fees are so for like purchases like Bored Apes, like people don't care about gas fees. But like purchases that are like cheaper right now, gas fees are insane, man. Like, you know, if you're paying $100,
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
$100 in gas for $100 NFT, you're paying double the amount of, you know, like of what the NFT is worth. So it's just almost not even worth it. I think that's one of the reasons why we see Ethereum NFT market being so slow right now. Granted, with that being said, I did notice this yesterday that yesterday, honestly, because of Elon's tweet, it was the highest volume day we've had in the NFT market since the beginning of April. So like so far, May's been like really slow and the end of April has been really slow. But I think with Elon's tweet, it really sent us. I mean, we had almost 15,000 Ethereum volume on Blur alone, and then 5,000 volume on OpenSea. So yesterday was a pretty good day in the NFT market.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely sent it for sure.
Another big topic that happened this week, there's been a lot of rug pulls. We kind of talked about that earlier with that guy that promoted HODL. I think it was HODL, basically undisclosed 2% in order to tweet about it and then dumped it. There's been a lot of that. And there's been a lot of obviously like scams. There's always kind of scams, but specifically some of the scammers came out on Spaces, Twitter Spaces this week. I thought that was really interesting. And I guess kind of got not confronted, but they basically just trolled. I learned a lot. So the reason I put this in here to discuss is just because I learned a lot about like the industry, and I figured it'd be interesting to, oh gosh, we have some breaking news, but I'll get into that in just a second. I figured it'd be interesting just to tell you guys like how this works. So essentially these people that are scamming like millions of dollars, a lot of them are under 18 years old. And in the United States, that's really a slap on the wrist. Like you don't really see jail time under 18. I don't encourage this behavior by any means. I'm just saying why they don't care and why they get away with it. I think even Canada has pretty loose laws too. So what they'll do is they'll take somebody older, like Kyle and myself, you know, we're much older, you know, like 10 years older than these kids, at least a decade older than these kids. And they have like these rings, and they essentially have like, they'll be like the, what do you call it? Like counselor to these younger kids, and they'll let them do all the dirty work. And that way, if things go south, it gets pinned on them. So they have like this very protective circle around them to where it doesn't really matter if they get caught. It's the worst thing ever, because in crypto and NFTs, they can literally get away with millions of dollars being stolen and not return the funds and then get a slap on the wrist. What do you think about that, Kyle?
Or which project specifically? The HODL thing?
No. I know you're distracted. It's okay. We'll go to the blockchain comic said the chief. I guess this would be breaking. Let's see. Coinbase. Oh, yeah, yeah. Here. This is a good excuse to be able to play the breaking news. Don't know if you guys can hear that. The chief legal officer of Coinbase just tweeted about Pepe and apologized. So let's go ahead and pull this tweet up and see what he said. What's this guy's name? Or did Coinbase retweet it? Yeah, Coinbase definitely did not retweet it. What's his name, blockchain?
Also, I'm getting a little feedback again.
Or
wait. No, we're good. We're good.
Sweet.
It was like for like a split second.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for his name so we can pull up the tweet. In the meantime, let me go back to the doc. One of the things that we didn't talk about yet, I did make a video on this yesterday. Did you see that someone burnt a Secret Rares Miles Morales collectible, which is at a floor price of $12,000 for the Soulstone?
Yeah, I saw that.
Why do you think they did that?
Man, I have no idea. I saw a lot of everybody speculating, you know, was it on purpose? Was it not? Nobody knows. I mean, until you go out and like ask the guy or girl or whoever, you know, like what happened. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe not. Who knows? Like maybe they had FU money and just burned it. So I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know. It's like, why burn a Secret Rare Miles? Like, you know, it's like a grail essentially. So I don't know. Maybe it was an accident, though. We've seen that a couple times.
Expensive accident, man.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen guys or people floor their NFTs by accident because it's like they accidentally put a decimal in there. And like, yeah, I've seen that a couple times. So there's just no telling for sure.
So Coinbase, after nearly being canceled because, you know, Twitter, the chief legal officer comes and says, "We screwed up and we are sorry. Yesterday, we shared an overview of the Pepe meme coin to provide a fact-based picture of a trending topic. This did not provide the whole picture of history of the meme, and we apologize to the community." So they sent out a formal apology. I accept it. I'm not big on cancel culture unless you absolutely deserve to be canceled, which some people do. And I guess that's very, very subjective as well. But yeah, I don't know what you think, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, this again, it's like my comments earlier about Bittrex kind of like doing the similar thing to the OG Pepe coin from 2016 that's still around today. Yeah, so not too surprising here.
Maybe like they
it's just another exchange doing the same thing, trying to like jack around with the crypto market. And like the culture of like decentralization in general, because like that's what Pepe kind of represents now, especially in crypto, is like the degen aspect, but like also the principles of Web3, and not like, you know, and so to me this isn't like a surprising thing. Like it happened back in I think like 2017 with Bittrex, like I was saying, it's happening again now. So to me, like, not a surprise, but again, now they like apologized to try to like save face. I mean, better apology than nothing at all. So, I mean, at least they said sorry.
Yeah, at least they said sorry. Maybe they FUDded it on purpose so they could buy more. And then they came back and apologized so the price would pump again. Also, shout out to Blockchain Comics for even pointing out this tweet. So, already got, what time is it? It's only been out for like less than 15 minutes or so, and it has 100,000 views.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are all over.
Polly retweeted it, and people are like spamming like on his thing. So,
yeah. That's a whole nother subject. Polly. Yeah,
what do you think about Polly? Like, isn't he like not Larva Labs? Like, isn't he like a pro, like not this project, but starts one anyways kind of guy?
I'm not a Polly fan. Like, they're one of those,
isn't he
an anti-influencer that's an influencer to like a whole other group of people who do worse things than the influencers that they hate do.
Yeah, he's like he like 4chan's the 4chaners, and he's like, or something like that. Like, it's like a inverse reverse like type of character.
Yeah, like he absolutely
not Larva Labs, and then now he does not, it's like not real Pepe as well now. So I don't know. To me, just seems a little off.
Screw those influencers who profit off their followings, and I want to create a following by talking bad about those influencers just so I can then sell to this new following and influence them.
Right, exactly. It's just like people fall for that, though. Like, they're like, they eat that up because they don't really realize they're being grifted.
Yep, because you feel like you're part of a movement. You're like, you're being cool. You're being countercultural or counter whatever. And
it's really not. It's just a fraud. It's worse. Like a scheme. It's worse.
I mean, that's how, like, going back to the whole ride or rip situation, like, I still don't really know my full opinion on, like, everything, but, like, Ryder was trying to call out, like, Bored Ape Yacht Club for being, like, having Nazi eyes, and yet, if you go dig up anything about Ryder, like, he has very racist stuff on the internet, like, that he's done, and it's like, bro, like, you want us to, like, buy your stuff, which was what he did. He profited off of this. Support you, who allegedly has a history of racism, while you're trying to call out, you know, like something for the same thing. Like, come on. I said my credit card was compromised twice. Someone trying to purchase staff from merchant named Vivor and Vivor. I never have this problem until VV having web apps to purchase gym using credit cards. That's interesting. So essentially, they think that the credit card could have been compromised. Essentially, they could think that the credit card could have been compromised by using the VV web app.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. Like the merchant name was Vivor or Vivor. I don't know, man. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that could, if it did come from like something to do with VVs, and that is actually going to turn into something much bigger, probably very soon. But I guess we'll wait and see till the details roll out on if there's been an exploit or not. I used to be terrified.
Was that recent or?
I don't know how many people here were here of like early VV days, but they didn't even have two-factor authorization at first. So like I used to be so scared for my account because like there's only so much you could do. You can't self-custody your assets and then you didn't have two-factor authorization. So you're sitting here with however much money you had in your assets, just like waiting for somebody to brute force your password. Like it made me so nervous back in the day.
Yeah, like where people were getting exploited and their collectibles were like disappearing from their collect. It was basically like similar to like MetaMask, except it was much more simple. It was a simple phishing deal. Some of that could have been because Facebook got like before like around that time or around that time, Facebook got exploited big time. Like somebody exploited like all like it was like millions of Facebook users' accounts. And so, you know, your email can be like phished pretty easily or like spoofed. Like there's email spoofing, IP spoofing and like all this other stuff. So maybe it could have been something like that where they can easily grab your IP email and spoof it and then log into your account. But that was like one of those things, you know, so it's hard to tell because like we're not like internally working for VV, but they obviously like remedied that, try to fix it and like. Corrected their issues on that. So
I forgot. That's actually exactly what happened. So Facebook got exploited and passwords were leaked, and then people kept the same passwords in their emails and everything. And so people were able to just like buy these passwords and user and emails off the black market, and then they were able to use them for VV to sign in. So around the time of the VV exploits, I think the team was encouraging people to like make sure that all their passwords were new and changed. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. It was like one of the largest hacks like of all time, basically. Maybe not of all time, but it was a big one. It was like major. And like it like just quietly got like swept under the rug pretty quickly too. So
yeah, the hack itself was massive, but a lot of these like scams are like pretty simple. Like I know you're more involved with tech than I am, but it's literally as easy as like going online and buying some information or like getting people to making a copy and paste website to where like people think that it's the actual website. They put in their username and password and then it sends directly to them. Like a lot of like the Facebook hacks or scams or Instagram and all of that, like super simple. Like a lot of people can pull off. And people are so scared because like they think these people are like really good hackers, but they're a lot of these people aren't. Like a lot of these people just like know like very simple tactics to scam people.
Yeah. Like I used to build websites. I still know how to build. I've built my own website, but like all you have to do is just have a form, like, or it doesn't even have to be on a website. Like it can just be something simple that grabs your IP address and like reveals like literally like your information. So like, yeah, if somebody collects your email, knows your email, your IP, you know, like all of that, it becomes quite simple to just like, you know, get a hold of your information and like, and yeah, get hacked that way. But like, luckily there's like other things out there that protect against that, like, you know, multi-factor and two-factor authentication and like all that stuff. So, but yeah, cell phones too, like, you know, cell phones can be, the numbers can be spoofed. That was like an issue. And there's like, you know, what was it called? Sim jacking or whatever.
Sim swapping.
Sim swaps and like all that. So, it's like people just need to stop downloading spam and like stop and make sure you read where your email's coming from. Cause literally like if you get caught sleeping on any of this stuff, like it could happen to anybody. And you've seen that with like Yuga Labs people, even like Basie, like collectors, like they fall for like these phishing attempts all the time. And if you own a Bored Ape, you're going to be immediately a target of this stuff, you know?
Yep. I listened to the guy who apparently was the one that like hacked the, one of the founder Bored Ape founders Twitters recently. I listened to him speak on Spaces and he didn't care. He had no remorse. I mean, granted, I don't know how much he got away with on that one, but they did steal like 13 apes, which is nuts.
Dang. So yeah, Ace Rig, he hasn't like wrote to the VV team yet, but yeah, I would definitely like raise a support ticket for sure and bring it up. And that way they'll be able to, you know, they needed like, they'll be able to do their due diligence, you know, and all that good stuff. If it's, especially if it's recent, like that way other people can be protected, you know, people can, or VV can act accordingly. And that way, like more people don't fall victim to that, you know, shenanigans. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, man, as we're approaching the end, do you have any alpha for the listeners?
No, other than that, the Pepe that everybody's buying into is not the real Pepe. That's the alpha.
That's funny.
I know. It actually makes people mad when I say that. I don't know why. Like people are like, I don't care. I'm like, okay. I was just letting you know, like, hey, I called Pepe at 8 million market cap, so don't be mad at me. I'm just calling it like I see it.
Does it matter though? You think people are just going to follow hype, or do you think Matt Fury is going to sue this Ethereum Pepe?
No, because he's just an artist. I think Matt Fury actually knows the OG Pepe team. I recorded a whole space on them. But so I think he's just happy his art is back out there in front. And he actually released his own collection. So he did this like collectible launch. So there's like all these different forms of art that you can collect and you can burn. You can like upgrade your, it's like a whole burning mechanism launch that he did just like a couple days ago. And it was relatively inexpensive. So you could have bought one and it was like unlimited mint, I think. But it was only open for like a day for like series one. And I think he's got like like 10 series of collections that you can collect and burn for like and upgrade it. I just think he is just happy that his name's back out here. And like, the real story came out about him, that he's just an artist. And I think he's happy that, you know, Pepe is doing well now. And I don't think he necessarily like wants to get involved in like OG versus new. I don't think he's going to do that because he's just an artist. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if anything, it just promoted him even more. And like, yeah. You know, I thought it was funny that like Reddit was like mad that like too many people were talking about Pepe token. Granted, like I get how it can be annoying. Like anytime you post anything, people like trying to shill, but like this was the Pepe Reddit. So like this encourage the meme 100 times, you know, like so many, it onboarded so many more people to the meme and the culture.
We got Dogs down in the audience on Twitter. Yo, he's a real big OG Pepe fan supporter, so shout out to him. He's on the Twitter space right now. He actually hosted the first OG Pepe coin Twitter space in history on Twitter.
Really?
Dang. Last week. Yeah, I was up on stage with him, so shout out to him.
You summoned him, man. You start talking about the OG Pepe, and you just,
he looks like he's got a Basie. I don't know if that's like confirmed, but anyway, shout out to him. He's pretty chill. We're running up a YouTube stream, Dogs, up on YouTube, so we're doing a dual stream here on Twitter as well.
Dual stream, working out the kinks this time. We will come next week just like fully prepared. Isn't that right, Kyle?
Yeah, his handle's Meme Basie.
Is what?
And his bio says, only invest in audited meme projects, microcap gems. Hey.
Audited meme projects. I like it, man. Is there any tokens you're watching besides Pepe? Or the original Pepe?
Well, obviously, like I watched the original Pepe, and now I'm watching the OG Pepe just to track it. Like it's around 6 cents. Their token supply literally spells out LEET 69420, which is pretty funny.
That is
So that's their token supply. It's much lower than the new Pepe. And in my opinion, like if this thing catches, and it could, because what's going to happen is, you know, the more and more this stuff starts to get out, the more and more people will maybe even get bored of the original ticker, and they'll see this as an opportunity, and where like there's opportunity lies greed. And then all of a sudden people get greedy and they'll start shilling their own bags, and that this could be something that could happen. So that's why I'm looking at it closely as like a viable, like this, and they're not just like doing a meme ticker. They're actually building an ecosystem. The OG people are, and sure, they're launching like a GPU mining system for their Pepe AI. So it's not like they're not like rookie developers like this new one, which they're building nothing. It's just a meme coin. So yeah, that's something I'm looking into for sure. This is not financial advice. This is just something I'm looking at. This could take a long time for them to like catch fire, or nothing could happen, but it's something I'm looking at.
What's like the actual like token itself called?
It's called Pepe Coin. That's the ticker symbol.
That's the ticker. Okay. Yeah. What chain is it on?
They launched their contract before the new Pepe as well. So they predate even the new Pepe. So they're on ERC-20.
Okay, they are on ERC-20.
Yeah, they're old. So they still have a coin on an old block. They have like their own blockchain that they built, and they were like on an OG blockchain, like layer two. So they like, I'm telling you guys, these were like legit. They had this whole like layer one, layer two system set up before Ethereum had like their first contract, smart contract. So their old token is called Meme or Memetic, and it's kind of like locked up. So they've locked up 40% for those OGs, and they're building a bridge so you can bridge over to the new Pepe coin. So the token supply is actually pretty low in comparison to what's actually circulating right now.
I have it pulled up. Let's look at, is this it?
Pepe, yeah, that's
it's
it.
It's like almost 7 cents.
Yeah, and if you pull it up on CoinMarketCap, you can even see that it shows Memetic / Pepe Coin. So if you pull this up on, if you go to CoinMarketCap and look it up as well, it has a little bit more, like this predates, like you can go back, and this went up to $2 at one point, like way back in like 2016, 2017. So yeah, like CoinMarketCap.com, it'll show like a little bit of like, it'll literally show Memetic / Pepe Coin.
This one? Yeah, I think I see it.
Oh, OG Vault says in the chat, I'm too scared to buy meme coins.
Kyle right now is talking about apparently this Pepe coin predates the Pepe that everyone's hyped about. So that's pretty interesting.
Major. Now the market cap's off, so there's some data, but you can literally see right there Memetic / Pepe coin, which is funny because Polly was tweeting about his Pepe and was like, oh, it's Memetic, like this is a Memetic like nanotechnology. I'm like, literally this is they named it Memetic, like, so this is like OG, triple OG. Vitalik Buterin even tweeted about this coin in 2017 as a kind of a teasing joke, like, should we do a Pepe coin alliance? So it's like the OGs of the most OG know about this coin here from like the olden days. So yeah, they had an NFT marketplace called Kekdak, where you could swap meme trading cards, Pepe trading cards. They're like rare Pepe type stuff. I'm telling you, this was an entire ecosystem. This wasn't some like scam. Like this was like they had an actual ecosystem built in, like an actual NFT swap, a layer two. And then they had like their layer one and their bridge and like their, I don't know. It's just like this new token just, in my opinion, doesn't hold a candle to the history of this one in terms of like history.
So this was the first Pepe coin ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's alpha. I'm gonna have to do my due diligence on that.
Oh, it's major. It predates BRC20, Pepe, ERC20, like new Pepe.
Are you currently holding any?
Yeah. I bought some around like 17 cents and it kind of like I got ripped on it a little bit.
Bro, you bought up here?
17. You bought way up here? It's better on coin on Dex Tools because it went.
Bro, every time I go somewhere, you're like, go somewhere else.
Well, it went to like 40 cents. So I'm not like necessarily like. Yeah. And then I bought again around like, I bought another small bag around like 12 or 13. So I did buy a little toppy, but this is one I'm like looking at, like, as like the market cap's only like 9 mil. And again, if this like catches, like people start like realizing the history, it could be like people get greedy, right? Like they invest early into stuff, then they start shilling their bags on like Twitter. So it's more like a greed situation that I could see, like people start like infighting, you know, and all that. Like, I don't know. It just seems like it's how it works on crypto Twitter and you know, influencer land. But
I mean, hey, I'm gonna watch it. That's like I said, that's pretty good alpha. So I didn't know this. I don't know if you did. I would consider this breaking. I don't remember where my breaking went. I got to use the soundboard just because it makes sense, you know. So anyways, we got breaking right here. You hear it? So we have, you know, Sean, a broadsider, said that, hope you are taking advantage of the meme coin dip right now. The government sold $1 billion in Bitcoin yesterday. So now is a great time. I'm in Pepe, Wojak, Richard, Tom. I didn't know that, dude. That's a lot. Why did the government sell $1 billion yesterday?
They're trying to tank the market, I guess, manipulate things like they normally do.
That's right after saying crypto bros are printing money, but we're the only ones to be able to print money because hashtag America.
Yeah.
That was a reference, if you're just now joining in, from a video we showed earlier where a congressman, I actually forgot his name, Sherman, I think.
Sherman, yeah.
Was addressing the
maybe we do.
And he was talking about how like the crypto bros are apparently printing money, which is just not accurate at all. But he later said, like, and now they're accusing us of printing money. And he said, well, maybe we do, but we're the U.S. government. So regardless of whether you agree or disagree with whether they should or should not, it's just a very funny thing to say. Like, yeah, we print trillions of dollars, but who cares? We can get away with it. that's essentially what he said on video broadcasted. So that's hilarious. And then they sold $1 billion worth of Bitcoin, I guess, right after that. So maybe they tried to FUD it.
Yeah. I like, listen, like there's going to be a reserve currency, like no matter what, like if the US wasn't doing it, you know, obviously China's trying to do it. So like somebody's going to be doing something, like, but like, yeah, his like statement was a little obviously audacious, because it's like, okay, you have to have some responsibility here. Like you can't just like say that, you know, I mean, he can, but I don't, it just is optically, it just looks a little ridiculous and a little. Yeah, it's just audacious. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I completely agree. And we have Blockchain Comics said they have 200,000 Bitcoin left to sell.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a vast amount. But that's why Bitcoin was created, man. If you look at Satoshi's white paper and you look at Satoshi and like obviously the original movement of Bitcoin, like this is like the reason why. Like, you know, the printing, the unlimited prints. And there's got to be some way to hedge against that, right? And so like Bitcoin, gold, like some of these assets, or, you know, as they, I guess, commodities, as they're trying to deem it, you know, it's just to fight against all that, like hyperinflation, inflation, unlimited printing. So yeah.
The real alpha. Honestly, dude, it wasn't until like, this is like almost embarrassing to admit, it wasn't until last year that like I like, and I'm still learning, but like I fully understood that like Bitcoin is more than like an investment. It's like, it's not the fact that Bitcoin's going to be, I'm trying to say this correctly, it's not the fact that like I'm waiting for Bitcoin to be worth $100,000. I'm waiting for $100,000 to be worth one Bitcoin, if that makes sense. So essentially, the value of one Bitcoin doesn't even necessarily have to go up because people are buying it, but the dollar is just rapidly going down. And we're at fear, and this is where it gets a little bit more complex. I actually talked with a financial advisor about this. There's this fear, it's called velocity. And velocity is basically the US dollar's dependence on all of the other users of the US dollar to use it. Once, if there's ever other options, and then like obviously like trade and a lot more stuff comes into play, it could like hyperinflate the dollar. This is happening already, but not with the US dollar, but with other currencies. If the dollar gets hyperinflated, it's already, you know, we experience inflation or whatever, but like if it's hyperinflated, you're looking at like a $5 cup of coffee being worth $15 or $25, you know, like it would like rapidly decrease the value of a dollar. So like placing your money in Bitcoin is like, obviously this is not financial advice. This is like beyond financial right now. It's like there is that like almost like little doomsday preparation, if you will, you know, if like the US dollar just continues to be inflated and be printed and people go on videos saying, yeah, we do it, but we can, you know, like, I'm not able to pull this up right now. So if I misquote, I'm sorry, but I was the same guy I think I was talking with, was saying that 50% of the entire, US, all the dollars that we have right now was printed after 2008. Dude, if that's true, feel free to fact check me, because I honestly don't remember. If that's true, like, that's insane to think about, like, that they printed out 50% of our total currency since 2008. Like, that's a scary thought. I lost my audio. No.
Oh, no. I muted. I requested on Twitter, so if you could add me back up. I think I got shot down. But yeah, I agree. I mean, it is scary. Like, they've did these like massive prints. Like, obviously we saw it in the last like two or three presidents of like them just mass printing dollars. So of course, like, there's going to be consequences. It's like you go to a party and like you have massive amounts of like stimulants and like boot, like all this stuff. The next day, of course, you're going to have a hangover. So that's like the equivalent to what the US government has done, is they've, you know, had all this fun and now the music has stopped. And now people are like, okay, the party's over, time to go home. And realizing they printed insanely way too much. And now they're still having issues with it. They're having trouble with it. They're going to have to find a better way to back the dollar. Right now, the dollar is like, was considered a petrodollar, but the United States is going to move away from that, especially less reliance on oil in general across the world. Like, you have electric cars now. So that's going to shift too. And I think it's going to go more of a silicon based like dollar in the future. That's my opinion. I think the silicon and semiconductors, that I think that's the new oil. And you're talking about the brain of what's going to power AI in the future. So like, to me, I think things are just changing from the old world paradigm, and we're moving into a new paradigm, and we're kind of seeing that play out right now.
That's good, man. I think that's a good note to end on. We're just above the hour, and that was a deep ending to the DJ and Dad's podcast.
Yeah, appreciate it. And then thanks for everybody tuning on Twitter. I know we had like a little bumpy technical here and there, but appreciate everybody for tuning in, watching the replay, and listening in. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We appreciate you, and we'll get this smoothed out. So seriously, thank you everybody who's watching on YouTube or on the Twitter Spaces. We had some kinks in tech, but this will just get better and better because we're not going anywhere. Kyle and I been here for a while. Kyle even longer than me, way longer. And we're still building, still upgrading. I don't know if you saw, and this is where the casual point of the podcast goes, but like, I just got some new equipment I'm really excited about, to be able to do this, to be able to run better Twitter Spaces, increase the quality of this podcast. I know, speaking right now, I know I look like a crypto punk. Gonna figure that out. I upgraded my internet, deleted a bunch of space. I've done all kinds of stuff. Still experiencing, for some reason, bad connection quality. So I'm trying to get that figured out. But all that being said, outro music. I hope it's playing. If not, I know that looks pretty dumb. So thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time. Peace out.
Peace.